In the crusade preceding our trip to the States and Canada, we were in Colchester, Essex. We were there for 3 weeks, and we saw God really move in blessing. 360 people came to know the Lord in those 3 weeks, and we just rejoiced that God did such a wonderful thing. I had an invite whilst there to go into the army prison, and it was one of the most moving experiences that I've known. There were almost 200 men that came to the chapel service. There wouldn't have been any absentees here if you'd had the same sort of discipline they'd had. They came on the double, sergeant majors bawling and yelling all over the yard, and here they were rushing along and running all the way to chapel and running even to their seat inside a chapel. And the shouting went on inside as outside, but we had a captive audience, that's sure. It was a tremendous opportunity to preach to these men, and I told them of the love of the Lord Jesus Christ. At the close, I did something I've never done in a prison before. I asked the men that were touched by God's message of love to come forward. And three men came out of the 200. There were probably 12 officers, 7 or 8 sergeant majors, a good many other NCOs, all watching. 2 padres and 200 men, prisoners. And 3 of those men came out to the front and knelt at the altar rail in that little chapel to give their hearts and their lives to Jesus Christ. I looked around, and there were a good many prisoners with wet eyes, seeing their comrades go forward to trust Christ. I challenged those men not to be cruel to the 3 that had come out, for I showed them how much more courage the 3 that were out the front had than the 197 that was still in the seats. And I heard a week later from the scripture reader who attends the camp and looks after work in the prison that those 3 men had put their colors well up on the flagpole. Not only had they come forward there on the Sunday morning, but they had made it known everywhere in the camp that they were now on the side of Jesus Christ. I trust that tonight, in surroundings that are much more comfortable and much more easy for you, that you too, if you know not Christ as Savior, will come boldly, quietly, and reverently to the forward area of this auditorium to receive the Lord Jesus as your Savior. A number of people have been asking us about our tent work, and in a few sentences I want to tell you about it. The whole of the summer every year we use a tent. We started in 1960 with a tent seating 120 people. In 1970, we had moved up to a tent that seated 1,000. We then purchased a 1,250-seater tent, and this last year we've been using one that seats 1,500. But the one we used this last year was not our own. It was one that we had hired for the season, for our own was destroyed in a very severe gale at the end of August 1973. We still are having a good many debates around Great Britain as to who blew the tent down. Some people tell me the devil did, and some people tell me the Lord did, but I'm not getting into too many theological discussions on that. I don't know who blew it down, but it came down. I got a pretty good idea it was the devil. He's been against me for a good many years, and no doubt he hates that old tent. And he thought he was on a winner when he got it down, but he found out he lost because we got a bigger one the next year and used all this past year, and now we have found one that is far better than anything we've ever seen before. It's a fantastic structure. It has only 5 poles. It is completely round. It'll seat at least 1,500 people, and we can add to it with very little cost to seat 2,500. It's a magnificent structure. If you want to know what it looks really like 5 ice cream cones turned upside down and all joined together in the middle. Now, that sounds stupid, but that's what it looks like. And it's a fantastic thing. As I said, it's completely round. They tell us that it is so strong that they have taken motorcycles on the roof and ridden around up and down the ice cream cones and around the circle center. And it has done no damage to it at all. And when the motorcyclist was on the top, the only distance that there was a sag was 1 inch from its normal position. So that told us something of the tension and the strength of this magnificent tent. Since I've been away over here with you, my site manager who looks after 10 Direction has been to see it, and he's absolutely thrilled with the structure, and we have to put an order in for it within 3 days of my return home. Now, I bring this to you as a matter of prayer because we believe it is what God wants us to do. It'll be the only tent of its kind in use in Great Britain, and we believe that it's the one God wants us to have for the work. We believe if the devil blew the last one down, he'll be sorry when he sees this one go up. And we need your prayers to make sure the Lord will keep him away from this one for the next 10 years, because that's what the manufacturers say the length it will last us. So we want you to pray about it. Pray about it because, firstly, rejoice that God has given us almost all the money we need for it, and that is a miracle. We need $30,000, and we have about 4 months, and we need 5,000 more. So that's a miracle what God has done. 30,000 for this great auditorium. It will seat more people than this one does by almost 500. And you can tell how beautiful a structure it will be. So if you want pictures of it in full use, get the Way to Life News. And you'll see the pictures, you'll praise God and rejoice with us in what God is doing. Now a few verses, only a few, from Mark chapter 12. We're reading from the 28th verse. Mark 12, verse 28. And one of the scribes came, and having heard them reasoning together, and perceiving that Jesus had answered them well, asked him, which is the first commandment of all? And Jesus answered him, the first of all the commandments is, Hear, O Israel, the Lord our God is one Lord. And thou shalt love the Lord thy God with all thy heart, with all thy soul, and with all thy mind, and with all thy strength. This is the first commandment. The second is like, namely this, Thou shalt love thy neighbor as thyself. There is none other commandment greater than these. And the scribe said unto him, Well, Master, thou hast said the truth. For there is one God, and there is none other but he. And to love him with all the heart, and with all the understanding, and with all the soul, and with all the strength, and to love one's neighbor as himself, is more than all whole burnt offerings and sacrifice. And when Jesus saw that he answered discreetly, he said unto him, Thou art not far from the kingdom of God. And no man after that dared to ask him any question. The Lord will add his blessing to this reading of his precious word.
Lord, hear my prayer. nothing can be that He has done so much for each one of us. We'd like to sing a song now. The words come from the Psalms. This is the day that the Lord has made. joy in our life that only Jesus Christ can give to us. We'd like to think about that now. The joy that Jesus gives. Thank you.
Thank you so much, fellows, for coming. Number 31 on your hymn sheets. Just the first and the last verse. We'll ask you to stand together, please, to sing.
Soul, are you weary and troubled? No light in the darkness you see. There's life for a look at the Savior, and life more abundant and free. Look full in His wonderful face, and the things of earth will grow strangely dim in the light of His glory and grace. His word shall not fail you. Promise, believe Him and all will be well. Then go to a world that is dying, His perfect salvation to tell. Turn your eyes upon Jesus. Look full in His wonderful face, and the things of earth will grow strangely dim in the light of His glory and grace.
Thank you, audience. Be seated.
I stood one day at Calvary. and share all my sorrows. You said you'd be there for all my tomorrows. I came so close to sending you away, but just like you promised, you came there to stay. I just had to pray, and Jesus said, come to the waters, stand by my side. I know you are thirsty, you won't be denied. I felt every when in darkness you cried, and I strove to remind you that for those tears I died. Your goodness so great I can't understand, and dear Lord, I know that all this was planned. I know you're here now and always will be. Your love loosed my chains, and in you I'm free. But Jesus, why me? And Jesus said, come to the waters, stand by my side. I know you are thirsty, you won't be denied. I felt every teardrop when in darkness you cried, and I strove to remind you that for those tears I died. Jesus, I give you my heart and my soul. I know that without God I'll never be whole. Savior, you opened up all the right doors, and I thank you and praise you from earth's humble shores. Take me, I'm yours. And Jesus said, come to the waters, stand by my side. I know you are thirsty, you won't be denied. I felt every teardrop when in darkness you cried, and I strove to remind you that for those tears I died.
Going to ask that we bow in prayer at this time. Every head bowed, every heart quiet for a moment before God. We have been brought face to face with the Lord Jesus, with His love. We have been pointed to the cross and His suffering. We have been reminded that it was for us that He died. And now we're going to turn to the Scriptures, and God is going to speak to us. We're not going to be able tonight to run away from his love or from his claims, we'll have to face up to it. If we decide to reject, it will not be because we do not understand. Somehow tonight, we've got to face the love of Christ. And we've got to face our own problems. And we've got to face the future. And our future's going to be one with hope, or one that is hopeless. I know you have problems tonight, many of you. Deep-seated problems. Some of you doubt the Bible. Some of you have watched other people who are called Christians and you wonder if there's any reality in Christianity. Some of you once loved well and you've lost your faith. Some of you have been overtaken by the cares and the snares and the enticements of this world. Some of you have listened to the voice of friends and have been drawn away from Jesus. But tonight, the Lord is here. He is going to speak to us all. Let us pray. Oh God, this very evening we realize how great is your love, how deep is our need. We realize tonight that unless, oh Lord, you speak to us by the Holy Spirit, this service will all be in vain. Give me love, give me compassion, give me tenderness of heart as I preach, O God, but let me speak it as it is and tell it as you tell it in your word. Give everyone here tonight understanding of the message, keep it simple, and touch every emotion, every heart, every will, every soul tonight, that no one outside of your love may stay outside. But that tonight they may step into the sunshine of your grace and smile and go home with Jesus as their Lord and Savior. We ask it in your precious name. Amen. And when Jesus saw that the young man answered discreetly, he said unto him, "You are not far from the kingdom of God." Jesus said, "You are not far from the kingdom of God." I wondered to how many people tonight the Lord Jesus could come. I wonder beside how many he could sit and whisper to you, "You are not far from the kingdom of God." Not far, but alas, too far. Only a step, but one step too many. You are not far from the kingdom, but you are far enough to miss every blessing, and you are far enough to miss God's love, and you are far enough to die without hope. Not far, but too far. This is one of the verses in Scripture that as a preacher really gets me excited, because I know that if in the day when Jesus was amongst men, he could look into the human heart and see that individuals were very, very near to his kingdom, then I know that tonight, right here in this section of the company, a cross-section of the community of Toronto, and yet right here tonight, there are boys, young lads, not yet in their teens, and you're almost in the kingdom. Almost. There are girls here in their early teens and you know all about God and you are almost in the kingdom. And it really gets me excited tonight to know that from all over this auditorium, in a few moments from now, those of you touched by the Spirit of God, those of you pleaded with by the Spirit of God, those of you who have your eyes open to behold the love of Jesus at the cross, might get up out of your seats and come down these steps and take that one last step into the kingdom of God, into the arms of Jesus, into the blessings of salvation, and go home tonight with Christ in your heart, sins forgiven, and on your way to heaven. Don't you feel excited about it, those of you that are not Christians? that right here tonight you could actually become a Christian in the Bible sense of the term? Don't you feel excited tonight that you could go home with every sin forgiven? Isn't that fantastic? You could walk out of this auditorium without one sin to your account. You could go home with the whole record of sin in heaven blotted out, buried in the depths of the sea. You could walk out of this auditorium tonight not only with the past blotted out, but with the living, risen Christ within your life, within your heart, as your own friend and Savior and Lord. Walk out of this auditorium tonight not only with the past blotted out, but with the living, risen Christ within your life, within your heart, as your own friend and Savior and Lord. Some of you are excited about it. You're saying, I wish it were true. If only it could be me. I'd give anything to know that all my past were blotted out. I'd give anything to know I was a Christian. I'd give anything to really be sure that I was going to heaven. Some of you are saying, are there people in the world that really know they're going to heaven? How can anybody be that sure? How can people live as if it were a reality that it's absolutely certain they can? You can. If Jesus Christ enters your life by faith, if the Lord Jesus is taken by you as your personal Savior and friend, then tonight you can know. For the Holy Spirit will give you that assurance in your heart. The Holy Spirit will settle the whole matter, and you can go home tonight with Christ. Jesus is speaking to you now. 'Tis not the voice of a preacher. What you hear tonight will not be my words and my thoughts, but I believe tonight that God is going to send His words and His thoughts through me to you. And maybe most of it you'll forget, but one thing you'll know, that here in this auditorium tonight, God spoke to your soul. You may remember nothing of the message at all, but you will remember this, that here tonight, God challenged you. God spoke to your soul. God stirred your emotion. God moved your will. And God gave you the faith to respond and to say, Lord, I must step into your kingdom tonight. Jesus looked at the young man. A young man who was not ignorant of God, nor ignorant of God's law, nor ignorant of God's standards. He was not ignorant of the fact that God was a holy God, and he was not ignorant of the fact that he was a sinful man. This fellow had a lot of understanding about God, but he wasn't a Christian. And in our crusades, especially this past year, hundreds and hundreds of people have come into our meeting with much knowledge about God, with much understanding about the Bible, but they have not been Christians. They have been people with knowledge, people involved in church work, people involved in church life, church members, baptized people, communicants. But they never knew the Lord. They were not in the kingdom. Knowledge doesn't bring us into the kingdom. Serving the church doesn't bring us into the kingdom. Taking of the sacraments doesn't bring us into the kingdom. Baptism doesn't bring us into the kingdom. We step into the kingdom of God by faith. Faith alone. And it is the kind of faith that means action on our part. Not only a faith that believes that Christ is, but a faith that believes that Christ died for us and brings us to the point where we surrender our heart and our life to Him and make Him Lord of all. Are you near the kingdom tonight? Jesus is looking and He says, you are not far from the kingdom. Looking back over my early life, I think I can say honestly that I was never far from the kingdom, although to my parents I looked as if I was a great way off. I suppose to most people who were Christians, they would have imagined that I was a long way from God by my behavior, by the pattern of life that I lived, for I was not converted until I was 18. But I do not believe that I was ever very far from God. I believe if God were to say my condition through that time, He would say, you are only ever a step from the kingdom. And why? Why, although rebellious in my heart, why, though a lad without faith, why, though a lad seeking my own stupid way, why was I never far from the kingdom of God? And I'll tell you, because I had praying parents. And because of their prayers, God kept me never more than a step from the kingdom. And that's why you're as near the kingdom as you are tonight. Many of you because of praying parents. Some of you because of a praying wife. Some because of a praying husband. And some of you parents because of praying children. And there have been many months that you've only been a step from the kingdom of God. Your heart has been hungry for God, though you've never taken the step. There have been hundreds of times as you look back over the past months and years that you felt that need in your soul for God, for forgiveness, for peace, for love, for Christ. Only a step. The hymn writer said it, only a step, only a step, then why not take it now? All the hymn writer seemed to be pouring out in words what the Lord pours out from His soul day after day. Only a step, only a step. Why not take it now? Come and your sin confessing. Oh, would you come to Christ tonight? You're only a step. I believe that many of you here tonight are only a step from God, only a step from the kingdom because of the prayers of others. Do you know that today thousands of people have prayed for this meeting? And do you know that today probably each unsaved individual in this building has been prayed for by dozens of people in all kinds of different settings? Some have prayed in a little group at work. In another place, a few kids met in the school playground. They sat in the school canteen and they prayed for a father to be saved. They prayed for a mother. They prayed for a brother or a sister. In little homes today, a number of neighbors have met together and you didn't know, but they've been praying for you. Not because they wanted to be inquisitive or a busybody about your business, but because their heart was filled with love, because they do know that you're missing the blessings they enjoy. And they want you to know the love and the joy of Jesus Christ in your heart and your soul. They want you to know Christ. They want you to be forgiven. They're not busybodies. They are friends who care and friends who love and people whose hearts ache for your salvation and for the salvation of all men and women. For to live without Jesus, life is so empty. And to die without Jesus is something that no preacher can describe. Are you living without Him? Only a step, but still without Him? And are you in danger of dying without Him and spending the whole of eternity lost? Only a step. Only a step. Why don't you come? Some of you are only a step from Jesus, and the reason you will not take that step into His kingdom, into His love, into sins forgiven, into the peace of God, why? Because of your sin. I don't need to name it, because God's Holy Spirit already is naming it in your soul. It may be only one thing you could let go of all else, but there is one thing that to you is life itself. You've held on to it. You hold it to yourself. You say, I can part with everything but this thing. I can't, Lord. I can't. And you hold on to it. And should you hold on to it and die still grasping it, you will be lost forever. That silly thing you hold on to is something which really is not essential at all to your life. If you let go of it and let Jesus come in, He would fill every aching pain that that might leave. He would just fill your heart and fill your soul that you wouldn't even miss it. The old devil deceives you. But there is something in someone's life tonight, and the Holy Spirit is challenging you. Right now you know what it is. You could say, yes, I've been to scores of meetings like this, and every time the preacher asks me to give my heart to Christ, that one thing is there, and I say, Lord, if it weren't for that, I'd be a Christian. Lord, if you weren't asking me to let go of it, if you weren't asking me to give it up, I'd be a Christian, but Lord, I can't. And God says you must, because you cannot take sin into the kingdom of God. The Bible says that sin must be repented of. The Bible says we must come and repent of our sin and take Jesus as our Savior. It was sin that nailed Jesus to the cross. Do you know that? Your sin. My sin. How can you hold on to something that nailed Jesus to the cross? How can you covet it? How can you hold it? How can you embrace something which drove the nails through the hands of Jesus and drove a spear through His side and caused Him to be pierced with thorns? It was sin, my sin, your sin of thought and sin of word and sin of action that put Jesus on the cross. Reminds me of the story of a young couple that went out to Africa. A little baby was born to them while they were there. Dear little girl, 3 years of age. Just the joy and the pride of their heart. She was just beautiful. But one night, because of the carelessness of the mother, the little girl was left unprotected and a tiny, very poisonous snake got into that little cot. In the morning, mother, not knowing that anything was wrong, left the baby, thinking she was sleeping well. 2 hours later than baby normally awoke, mother opened the door quietly and looked in and saw their little darling dead. Her little face blue, and she was cold, and curled up on the pillow, just beside the face of their only child, whom they loved so much, was a poisonous snake. That mother, not knowing what she was doing, just stood there in the doorway of that room, and she screamed and screamed and screamed, I hate you! I hate you! I hate you! And she hated the thing that had caused the death of her darling daughter. What was it that caused the death of the only begotten Son of God, that lovely man that lived 2,000 years ago? What was it that caused Him to die in agonies upon a cross? It was sin, sin, sin. And you want to play with your sin and expect God to welcome you into heaven while you trifle and play and are amused with things that took His only Son to die in agonies at a cross? Never. Never. God will not let us into heaven until we repent of our sin and say to the sin that now we love, oh, I want to hate you, for you nailed Jesus to the cross. Take a look at Jesus at the cross. And see His body there broken. Don't just be sentimental about it. Be realistic about it tonight. He died for you. He died for you. I don't want your tears, and God's not interested in your tears. He wants you to be men and women with courage of your convictions. He wants you tonight to face the facts of the Bible. He wants you tonight to face the fact of Calvary, that Jesus died in love And he took in those hours at the cross your sin and my sin and died that we might be forgiven. Look away to the cross and see him there. His body is torn. Look at the thorns that pierce his beautiful brow. He was so lovely, so kind, so gentle, so understanding. Oh, look to the cross and see him there. Look at his hands, they're torn by nails. His feet too have been pierced by those awful nails. And he hangs and he suffers, he's mocked, he's ridiculed, they taunt him, they say, you were the one that was going to pull down the temple and build it in 3 days, you can't even save yourself. What are you doing on the cross? You're no king, you're a weakling. The religious powers of the day and the powers of Rome can do what they will with you. Why did he stay there? Oh, friend, tonight, face it, why did he stay there? Why did he stay there? Why did he hang upon that cross? Because he loved you. He loves you now. He loves you still. And he's not willing that you should perish. You're only a step from the kingdom. You must believe this, that Jesus died for you. You must believe this, that all the suffering, the pain, and the agonies of Calvary were for your salvation. You must believe this. Oh, and you must take that step tonight and come to this person, for he's no longer dead. But you must come tonight and say, oh, Jesus, I hate my sin that nailed you to the cross. But I love you, Jesus, for dying for me. And I'm only a step from your kingdom and only a step from salvation. But Lord, tonight, I'll come. What keeps you? Is it your sin? You know, some of you, it's not your sin, it's your religion. Did you know that? How could religion keep anybody from Jesus? Well, there are some of you here tonight that know full well your religion has kept you from Jesus. It isn't your sin. You could let go of anything. Because you're a person that is searching after righteousness and truth and God. That's why you go to church every Sunday. Dr. Billy Graham has said scores of times that there are millions and millions and millions of religious people in the United States and Canada that have been inoculated with just enough religion to stop them getting the real thing. And that's how we are. It's religion that keeps us from coming to Christ to be saved. We don't understand the word saved. We don't think the word saved is necessary. We don't think we have to be converted. We don't think being born again is important. We think that if we go to church and do our best, if we give our money to the church, if we take the sacraments, if we're baptized, if we just do what we can in church circles, all is well with our soul, and it's not. It's a lie of the devil. It's one of his masterpieces. Bunyan said, I perceive that there is a road to hell from the gates of heaven. You ever thought of that? There's a road to hell from the gates of heaven. A road to hell from the gates of heaven. A road to hell from the gates of heaven? What does it mean, a road to hell from the gates of heaven? Bunyan saw them there. Countless numbers of good, moral, religious people. All of them hammering, hammering, hammering on the door of heaven. They had taken the road to heaven. But when they arrived at the door of heaven, having taken the road that led to heaven, they found they were unfit to enter. For that one step that was necessary for them to enter the kingdom of heaven, they had never taken. They had taken scores of steps. There was a road to hell from the gates of heaven. You can read it in the scriptures. And Bunyan saw it in his dream. And all of them were men and women who said, you've preached to us, Lord. You sat down and you ate and drank with us. Lord, let us in. And he said, I don't know you. Every one of them sermon devourers. Many of you here tonight have devoured sermons beyond numbering. And you do not act upon the sermons. You listen, you take them in, but you do nothing. Sermons will not save your soul. Sermons will help you to take the road to heaven. But if the sermon has not affected your heart and touched your soul so that you have taken this one step of faith into the kingdom, you'll reach the gates of heaven and find that the gate of heaven only points you down to the utter despair of hell. You religious? Deeply religious? How many years have you been a Sunday school teacher and you couldn't rise to your feet this evening to say you've been born again? How many years have you been involved in your church? You couldn't rise to your feet and say, I'm a Christian. I know I'm going to heaven. If I ask you tonight, you'd say, I think so. I hope so. But you don't know. Oh, you're so near the kingdom. Oh, you dear folk, you're so sincere about what you do. You pray. You read your Bible. Your home has good books in it. You're so sincere. I know you are. And God knows you're so sincere, but God wants your eyes to be open to see that you have to come to God by faith and you must receive Jesus into your soul by faith. As many as received Him. Received Him. Have you ever received Jesus Christ? We have to receive Him by faith. We have to repent of our sin, receive Him by faith, come to Him and take that step into His kingdom. Oh, tonight you need Him. You're only a step. Only a step. Why not take it now? Some of you don't take it because of pride. What would your neighbor think if you walked down these steps tonight? After all, you've always told your neighbor you're a Christian and you've acted like one. What if tonight, in front of several hundred people, you should walk down the aisle to say you needed Christ? Oh, you couldn't do that. Why not? Why not? Why not? Because your heart is filled with pride. And God loathes pride. There'll be more people shut out in the darkness of hell because of pride than any other sin. It is pride that God abhors. God resisteth the proud. For a man or a woman who is proud is a man or a woman who is a humbug, a hypocrite, because there's nothing within any of us to be proud about. What have you or I got to be proud about? Everything we have by the gift of God. If we are of a super IQ, why? Because God has blessed you thus. If you have super strength and super health, why? Because God has blessed you thus. Everything you possess, you own, you have, is yours because the God of glory, has in grace and love given and given and given of Himself to you. So what have you to boast of? Tonight, the Bible says that every one of us, irrespective of birth or background or creed or color or religion, are in need of Christ. And pride can keep you right there when I ask you to come and give your life to Christ. But I tell you, pride can keep you there tonight. But tomorrow night, it could send you into the depths of hell. You don't know how long you have to live. You cannot boast yourself of tomorrow. Who of you could stand and say that you would be here tomorrow for sure? Not one. You can't boast yourself of tomorrow. You don't know what tomorrow would bring. And the pride that keeps you away from Jesus tonight is the pride that could take you down into the confines of despair and sorrow forever and ever in hell. For God resisteth the proud. But, oh praise God, but He giveth grace to the humble. If only tonight before Almighty God you would say, Lord, I'm only a step from the kingdom. I want to be really saved. I want to be a real Christian. I want every sin forgiven. I want to be pardoned, Lord. I want you in my heart, Lord. Oh, if only tonight. What are you going to do? And there's someone else here tonight staying away because of friends. You're in love. It's more than a friendship. It's almost come to the point of marriage. You're so much in love. And your partner has no time for this business. Some of you are married. And your husband has no time for this business. You know very well if you went home tonight and told him you were a Christian, it would be real tough. Because he told you when you came out, he just didn't agree with this sort of thing. All right, he said, go if you want to, but don't get saved. Don't get hooked by that preacher bid to go down the front, give your life to Christ. And you know there'll be problems. And some of you, because of your husband or your wife or your sweetheart or your lover, some of you, because just of a friend at school, you're kept away from Jesus. You're only a step. If that person weren't here tonight, if that person didn't have to be dealt with tomorrow or on your way home, you'd come. Your heart needs Christ. You're lonely. Your heart needs Christ. It cries out for God. Only a step. Only a step. How do you think your husband will ever get saved if you don't take the first step and find the blessed Savior? How do you think your wife will ever enter into the kingdom of God if you forever run away from the need of your heart and trust Him? How do you think your sweetheart will ever be saved if you refuse to do what God asks you to do? Do you not know that those that honor God, God will honor? And we have seen hundreds of families where a husband or a wife has taken that step into the kingdom and received Christ. And we've seen the whole family follow, sometimes in a few days and sometimes in a few years, but we have seen a whole family follow. You're only a step. Young girl, what are you going to do tonight? You're only a step from Jesus. You can't escape from what God's going to say to you in a moment. He's going to ask you to come to Christ. Young man, what are you going to do? The Lord's going to ask you in a moment to come down those steps and give your life to Christ. You're only a step. There's nothing to hinder you. Only the things that you allow to hinder. What are you going to do? For the Lord Jesus says you're only a step from the kingdom. And there are husbands and wives here together tonight who know you must up and come. You must come down here and you must take Jesus as your Lord. Now I must close tonight, but I must close on the positive note of Christ. For I want you to ask the question in your own heart. Oh Lord, what is the greatest power that has drawn me to this point of almost conversion? What is the greatest power that has brought me to this point of salvation? Lord, what has done it? Why am I only one step and not two? How is it that tonight I'm just this one step out of the kingdom, this one step from salvation, this one step from pardon? Why am I so near? What power, what force, what is it that's done this? And I tell you, the name of that power and the name of that force is love. It is love. It is love. Whose love? God's love. God so loved the world that He gave His only Son. In this was manifested the love of God toward us, that God sent His Son. Oh, it's love. Oh, if only you could understand tonight that God, the great God of this universe, is a God of love. He's a God of justice and holiness, and He'll be a God of judgment, I must say that, but He's known as a God of love. He's not willing that one of you should carry your own loneliness home with you, your own heartbreaks, your own burdens. He's not willing that one of you should take your own sin home with you. He loves you. He loves you. And it was God's love that sent His only begotten Son to agonize on that cross. And the very thing that has drawn you tonight to the point of commitment, to the point of salvation, the very thing that has drawn you so close to the kingdom is the love of God and the love of His only Son, the Lord Jesus. And tonight it's just as if the Lord Jesus were standing here. Oh, if only you could see Him. There isn't a girl or a boy that would go home without Christ. There isn't a man or woman would go home without Christ. If only you could see Him standing here tonight, He would show you the nail prints. He would show you the thorn marks. He would turn and show you His back that was torn by whips. I believe He would even weep over you tonight, and I believe the tears would fall upon you, and He'd say, "Son, I did love you like this, and I did die for you because I didn't want you to go to hell. And I didn't want you to waste your life and throw it all away. Young lady, I did love you like this. I did die for you. Look, here's the proof I love you. One day you're going to see those nail prints. And whether you're falling before Him with tear-wet face, saying, 'Lord, I love you,' or whether you fall before Him in despair and own Him as your judge, you will see those nail prints. No one will escape looking upon those nail prints. For every eye shall see Him." Oh, tonight He loves you. Won't you come to Christ tonight? Let go of your pride. Let go of your sin. Let go of your fear. Let go of anything that hinders you coming to Christ. For you stand tonight at the crossroads. For many of you, there has never been a moment like this. There has never been an hour like this ever before in your life. Many of you have never had your conscience stirred as it is now. And many of you have never had your soul touched as it is now. For God has done it. And you're at the crossroads. And you're one step from Christ, and that one step is faith. And I'm going to ask you to take that one step to Christ tonight. I'm going to ask you to publicly take that step. I'm going to ask you to get up out of your seat in a moment, walk down the nearest aisle. I'm going to ask you to do what many other people have done in this crusade. You're going to walk down here. You're going to stand here quietly and reverently to give your heart to Christ. You say, "Why am I asking you to come publicly?" Because I believe everywhere I read in the New Testament, people had to come out into the open about their faith. And the majority of them came out into the open the moment they were saved. Jesus is calling you. And He says, "If you're ashamed of Me in this wicked, adulterous, sinful generation, I'll be ashamed of you. But," He says, "if you will confess Me before men, I will confess you before My Father." You're going to come now to Christ, many of you. You've thought about it many times. You're only a step. And I'm going to ask you to come down here tonight. Walking down here doesn't save you. It's your way of lifting your heart to heaven and saying, "Lord, I believe You died for me. And tonight I'm willing to ask You into my heart as my Savior. I want to give You my life that You may make it anew. From tonight, if You will help me, Lord, I want to live for You. I want to serve You and I want to love You." Now this is your moment. Your moment. Your moment. It's your moment with God. For you are only a step from the kingdom. I'm going to ask that we all rise. Let us stand. The choir are going to sing. If you know this hymn, "Just As I Am," without one plea, you sing with them. This is your moment to come to Christ. As the choir sing in a moment, I'm going to ask you to get up, walk down those steps. If you're in the top row, you come. If you're in the center of these rows, you just get out and come. This is your moment with God. There's never been a moment like this for many of you. Husbands and wives, take each other's hands. Sweethearts, come together. Young lady, you come. Young man, you come. There are men and women here, many of you church members, church-going folk, you come to Christ tonight. You say, "It's a long way down there, preacher." It is a long way, but it's not hard to come. God will help you. The Lord will give you the strength, and counselors will walk with you. Counselors will stand here with you. Remember that Jesus went all the way to the cross for you. Now as the choir sing, quietly and reverently from all over the auditorium, you come. Don't wait, start coming right now. You come from everywhere. Quickly and quietly, you come and give your life to Christ. You're only a step. Now you come. We're going to wait for you. You come from everywhere right now. Why are you waiting? Just come. Just come. Walk out from where you are and come. Just ask someone to come with you. If you want them to walk with you, they'll come. Many are coming. You come, many of you from the top. You make your way down. People are coming from everywhere. You come. Plenty of time, wherever you are, you come. There may never be another moment like this. You come to Christ. Christians, you pray. There are many coming tonight. It's your moment to come. You're only a step from Jesus. Why not take it now? You come quickly from everywhere. Choir are going to continue to sing. You come, many of you, you come. Many others are coming. You come from everywhere. Husbands and wives, take each other's hands and come. Sweethearts, come together. Many of you young men, you come. You boys, come. Going to ask the choir just to hum this next verse quietly while I talk to you. I believe way out there in this auditorium tonight, there are many ladies and men who need Christ. Church-going folk, good folk, lovely folk, but you need Jesus tonight. You come. It's not easy coming down, you know that, but you come. Lots have come, and folk are still coming. Many of you church-going folk, some of you young people have got Christian parents, and you've never come to Christ. Some of you older people have Christian sons and daughters and you've never come to Christ. We're going to wait. The choir are going to sing two more verses of this hymn. We're not rushing tonight. We're going to sing two verses. There's time for all of you that need Christ to come. There's only a step between you and the kingdom. It's not emotion. I'm asking you to come because you need Christ and because He loves you. I'm asking you to come and trust Him tonight. Now from everywhere. Two verses, the verse they're singing and one more. Don't wait, come from the top rows. Come to Christ now, all of you. Let go of that pride, let go of that fear. Just come. Every Christian pray, and those of you that want to come, come. Some more are coming, you just come. Still people are coming, you come together. Folks up here, take each other's hands and come. plenty of time, wherever you are, you just come. We're going to remain standing for prayer. If you're on your way down, you just come and gather around us here. I'm going to speak to you before we pray, every head bowed. To those of you that have come, I want to say this in sincerity. I haven't asked you to come to me tonight. I couldn't change your life. I'm only a preacher, and I've tried to tell you as simply as I could tonight about the most wonderful love that God has. And He loves you. And I haven't asked you to come to me or to join an organization or to follow an organization. I've asked you to come to Christ. I haven't asked you to come tonight to join a church. This crusade here tonight is prayed for and supported by many fellowships of God's people around the city. Tonight you have come from many different backgrounds and you have church affiliations and associations, but tonight I've asked you not to come to have anything to do with the church. You'll need to go back to church. God wants every one of us in a church to serve Him, but that's for the future. Tonight the whole business is between you and the Lord. I've asked you to come to Christ. Just as you are, to ask the living, loving Christ into your heart to be your Savior, to be your Lord, to be your friend. Now I'm going to close in prayer. Immediately after prayer, I want all of you that have come forward to go round to your right. We've got a room at the back. A counselor wants to talk with you for a moment or two. That's a trained person. If you're a fellow, a man will speak with you. If you're a young lady, a woman, then a lady will speak with you. They'll give you some literature. And you'll be out in a few moments. You say, what about my friends? I came in a party. They'll wait for you right where they were. And you'll come back and join them. Now let's pray. And as we go to prayer, I say what I have said every night, that almost every night of this crusade and almost every night of every crusade I've ever conducted, people have come down those steps while we've been in prayer. If you've held back, now while every head's bowed, you come down. And trust the Lord whilst we pray. Lord, there are many here tonight in this auditorium who still need courage to come. Give them faith. Give them courage. Lord, they are only a step from your kingdom. They are so near. Please bring them. Whilst we're praying, Lord, help them to just to come and trust you with their soul. Lord, there are many here tonight. We thank you for every one of them. Oh, how precious is their life to you. You died for them, Lord. You love them. Please, Lord, tonight, enter their heart and save them. Send them home absolutely sure of their salvation and of your love. Lord, just help them by faith to open their heart and their life to you. Lord, we ask it and we thank you for every blessing. We ask you to take them home in peace and with happiness in their soul. We pray that you will keep them and strengthen them in all the days to come. This is but the first step, Lord. It is the first day for them in your loving kingdom, in your family. Lord, may the rest be the happier and the more blessed because they are walking with you. So we ask it all in Jesus' name. Amen. Let everybody remain standing. We want many counselors to come, please. Would you just make your way around? Would every counselor come, please? If you're needed, we can use you. If not, you can wait and pray. All of you that want to give your heart to the Lord, you come. Everybody remain standing. Many of you want to come. Just make your way down tonight. Wherever you are, some of you want to give your heart to the Lord. Folks are still coming to give their hearts to Christ. Come on, you just come while we wait. You may be seated. Don't leave for just a moment. A couple of things I want to say to you. We've only two nights left, or rather one night and one afternoon. Now, God is working. People often say to me, well, I'm a Christian, doesn't need me there. You know, these meetings aren't for Christians. Well, the strange thing is, that almost always the percentage of those that come forward is related to the number of people that are here. And Christians are needed to be here. to pray. And if Christians are here, usually
many others who are not Christians are here as well, because you bring unsaved with you. Now, it would be an easy thing
for us to fill this auditorium tomorrow if just all of us came back. I know you've planned things tomorrow, but if you were to put it off and come and get busy on the telephone and call your friends, we could have a great meeting tomorrow. And on Sunday afternoon, this place would not be large enough to hold the people. Now pray and pray and pray about those folks you've been inviting. Just pray over them and plead with God for them. And keep calling them, even though they've said 10 times already no. Call them again. And perhaps because of your love and your concern, they'll say yes. As you go tonight, go quietly and prayerfully. Just go home praising God from your heart. Pour out your heart to God and say, thank you, Lord. And as you go, just don't talk. Just go in prayer. Plenty of room for talking down the corridor. Remember that there's still some literature down there if you'd like some. It's not too late to use the literature. It will be after Sunday. It's not too late now. Take some hand leaflets and posters and give them out. And if you want our literature, receive from our office so you can pray for us, and we need your prayers. Write your name and address on the paper as you go out in the foyer. But as you go tonight, just go praising God. Go quietly and come tomorrow expecting tremendous things to happen. Good night. God bless you, everyone.